a lot into community efforts there, and people are building a strong sense of community. Help there has not arrived, but the people there are taking matters into their own hands. They are surviving. There's a lot of people who have grow crops there. So people are helping them with their own resources.
Well, thank you so much, Juan Carlos, and I'm so glad, Juan, that you were able to reach your sister as well. That does it for our broadcast. Go to democracynow.org for transcripts, video, and audio podcasts. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
This is KBOO Portland. The time now is 7:59, and coming up next is Abe and Joe Talk Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Paint and Struggle, Muralism and Radical Politics in Chile, Wednesday, October 4th at 7 p.m. at People's Co-op in Portland. Paint and Struggle, Muralism and Radical Politics in Chile is an evening that will feature a short documentary film and a conversation about the collaboration between students and organized labor in the struggle for free higher education in Chile. Again, that's Paint and Struggle, Muralism and Radical Politics in Chile, Wednesday, October 4th at 7 p.m. at People's Co-op, 3029 Southeast 21st Avenue in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Thank you for your pause, for your like, for your click. Thank you for your love, for your care, for your kind.
We want to thank everyone who joined or renewed your membership during our fall membership drive here at KBOO. We came very close to our $105,000 goal. We were within $10,000 of it. If you have not donated, please do so. Go to the website kboo.fm/give. Thanks again for supporting the best radio station on earth, KBOO.
Thank you for your post, for your like, for your click. Thank you for your love, for your care, for your kind.
I couldn't resist. I mean, it's depressing, it's sad, it's stupid, and it's America. This is KBOO 90.7 FM on your dial. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show. Abe Proctor is not here. Me, Joe Uris, I am. We'll be taking calls from you, and I hope that this will be more a call-generated show than my chattering on. I do have some things I want to bring up. The focuses are twofold today. I think it's important to not only acknowledge, but talk a little bit about what's happening with Puerto Rico, very briefly Puerto Rican history, very briefly. And I think it's also absolutely necessary that we talk about what happened in Vegas. And I'm going to try not to be too ironic, because it is a great tragedy, but it's sort of tempting to have the country and Western kind of gun-toting, cowboy hat-wearing people event with all their fans getting shot down and killed murderously by a crazy person. I'm assuming he's crazy. We'll never know. Maybe. Okay, so those are the two topics, Puerto Rico and Vegas. And with me in studio is Eric Edwards, who probably won't say a word.
A word.
A word, yes. And just visiting. And I really am. The reason why I chose the Chopin, the funeral march, was because I really think we're in a death spiral as a nation. I'm taking very seriously the fact that I am afraid that the weird fascism of the Trump era will continue on. I read the New York Times this morning, and there's all these meetings to do away with any kind of environmental protections, all these meetings to presumably spur on the development of an economic system that will, we pretend, create more jobs, but in fact what it will do will make the rich richer and the poor the same or worse. And then there's this tax plan that, well, I'm not going to go into today, is very bizarre, lie-filled and ill-thought-out. But that is all superseded by the fact that Puerto Rico, a small island, seized by the United States in a provocation that we developed to go to war with Spain and held by the United States continuously as a territory, not a state, not a place where people could even vote for the President of the United States. And its citizens, who are Americans, I want to emphasize that, who are Americans, are given second-class citizenship. If you had all spent time in New York City, beginning in the 1950s and following through into modern times, you know that the city has a large Puerto Rican population because that's where the jobs were. That's number one. You also know that the United States used one of the islands of Puerto Rico as a place to bomb and practice bombing. Now it's being turned into a resort, but there's lots of ordnance and toxic stuff there, and it's a real mess. Meanwhile, and this really is important, the whole attitude of American people, and particularly people like Donald Trump, is that Puerto Rico somehow is this colony that isn't really American, that the citizens of Puerto Rico aren't citizens. Since they can't vote for president, well, since they can't vote for senator, well, you know. So that we have this second-class, built-in second-class citizenship. Now, that war in 1898, where we wrested from Spain the Philippines, Cuba for a while, and Puerto Rico, is a very significant change point in our cultural and national history, because that war ushered in our role as an imperialist power, like many, many European countries. And it's important to know that when there was resistance in the Philippines, they thought we were liberating them, silly guys. When there was resistance by Islamic resistance as well as otherwise independence movements, we fought them and we tortured them and we used waterboarding and we did everything we have done in modern times to make that movement be beaten back. And we managed to succeed to the degree that until the Japanese grabbed the Philippines, and the years subsequently when we gave freedom to the Philippines, this was another American colony. And of course, it was a very important place for us for lots of different kinds of reasons. It also was historically the place where the Chinese would trade with the Western powers, by the way. All right, just put that aside for a moment, and I will get to your calls in a minute. I guess I want to talk a little bit about the Vegas killing. There's a lot of talk that it's the worst such. Well, yes and no. There have been other horrible mass killings in America, and they tend to get ignored or forgotten. There is even a weird right-wing movement, which has credibility only because it's around, that claims that that this one or that one never really happened. You know, in other words, it's a denial of fact. And this, we see this a lot with people actually believing it. And this one is an interesting one because we have not yet figured out what the guy's motive was. I think he lost at the tables. He was had a bad gambling day and just decided to bring a bunch of guns. And nobody noticed. I mean, we're talking a bunch of guns. All kinds of semi-automatic and automatic weapons, you know, long guns, brought in to a hotel so that he could massacre people, which he proceeded to do with a fairly great efficiency. Now, let's be clear. When the Founding Fathers, there were no Founding Mothers, when the Founding Fathers guaranteed the people the right to keep and bear arms, they were responding to a British policy of trying to strip colonists of their weaponry. At that time, many people were rural folk, and they gathered a lot of their meat by shooting deers and whatnot. They also had a policy of attacking and slaughtering Native Americans. All of this meant that the single shot rifle or the shotgun-like device would be the weapon of choice. Very few pistols. Pistols were generally used for personal settlement of disagreements. No one at that time had really the vision to understand the kinds of weapons that individuals can own and possess today. Meanwhile, the National Rifle Association, in modern times, has developed as a very wealthy lobbying group that essentially supports the position that nobody should be limited from having any kind of weapon. And it's a, like a sacred totem. It's like a religious fact. And every time one of these horrible things, Sandy Hook, whatever, happens, the gun guys and gals, I guess it's mostly guys, come out and say, oh, we can't talk about it now. It's too sensitive. Let's forget about it. And that's what they're hoping. Let's forget about it. I think that enough. I am not a person who advocates everybody giving up their guns. I think it's legitimate in our culture to have a hunting rifle, to have a shotgun to knock off birds and squirrels, if you like squirrel, as a food. I think it's legitimate to have a pistol for self-defense. I'm not arguing to do away with any of that. But for God's sake, what do we need? Why do we need an army of crazies with assault rifles and multiple destruction devices? This doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. So that's something that needs to be dealt with and probably will not be dealt with in my lifetime, probably not yours as well. So what I would like to do today is kind of give it over to you. I'd like to hear your comments on how you're reacting to these two disasters. By the way, I do have to, on mentioning Puerto Rico, I don't think I have much faith in a leader whose response to a really huge disaster is to go golfing. You know, that's just not, it doesn't read right in my mind. But this pigo, this fascist fool, who is the President of the United States, is doing exactly that. And the way in which general media treats him, I mean, they have a kind of a veneer of neutrality around Donald Trump. I mean, come on. The only thing that we know about Trump is that he doesn't know anything. And that's enough. That should be enough. We don't really know if he in Russia had prostitutes pee on him. We don't know that. We don't know if that's true. Does it matter? Not really. It's not an important point. But the connection with Russia, that's important. The desire for him to build yet another gigantic structure with his name on it in Moscow, that's important. The way in which the Russians intervened in our election, which is much bigger than I had at first understood, and maybe many of you did, that's really, really big. It's a very, very sad situation. Both political parties, Democrats and Republicans, are at their base fairly weak. And in fact, the whole system has been, up until this election, kind of maintained by a certain degree of motivation and assumption that allowed this process to go on even after it had become less and less relevant. So I want to hear from you. 231-8187. Please cut to the chase from the very beginning of what you're going to say, who, what, where, when, how, why, you know, and then if time allows, you can continue the discourse. But putting all that out front makes it a lot easier for our listeners, and it makes it a lot clearer for me. Okay, who do we got? Jim, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Vegas.
Yes.
There is a primary question that must be asked, and the issues it raises must be addressed. Was this mass murderer using prescription, mind-altering, psychiatric drugs?
Well, that's an interesting question, and I don't have any answer to that.
Well, just about every mass shooter has been on prescribed antidepressants, such as SSRIs, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors.
Right. I know the drugs. I've never taken them. I like to
Prozac,
be depressed. What?
Zoloft, Effexor, and many others.
Yes.
Withdrawal from which can cause severe neuropsychiatric and physical symptoms, causing violent antisocial behavior.
Paranoia and suicide.
That's right. Gatekeepers in the media refrain from addressing this matter because of the power of big pharma in the form of advertising revenue. We don't need gatekeepers or obfuscators on our station. whether it involves the facts surrounding the events of September 11th, 2001, which have led to our current laws of democracy, mm-hmm. or any matter impacting the public welfare. The moral and intellectual cowardice of gatekeepers, even here and now on our station, is unacceptable and intolerable.
Well, I'm not sure where you're... I agree with you in general, but I'm not sure where the role of KABU is in this. I don't think we are a station that's much interested in supporting psychopharmaceuticals at all, actually. I think most of what I've heard here is pretty much based, if anything, on natural medicine and, to some degree, woo-woo.
Open discussion.
Yeah.
Open discussion of matters, whether it's involving the use of prescribed antidepressants mm-hmm. by mass murderers and shooters, is mm-hmm. a topic for serious and prolonged discussion.
No, I agree.
It is one of many topics that are generally skirted or disregarded also on this station.
Well, I think it's a good criticism.
I'm not talking about motivation here.
No, I understand. I think it's a good criticism. I think it's something that needs to be addressed, but I think I want to go on to other people. Thank you very much
for
very good points. Very good points. All right, 231-8187. Who do we got? George, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning, Joe. How are you guys this morning?
Oh, well, I'm a little depressed, but other than that, that's just my condition. But I've been thinking about taking some psychotropic drugs and maybe straightening myself out. That's a joke. Okay, go ahead.
I was thinking about a class of mass murderers who may or may not be on prescription drugs, and I think probably some of them are. And the number of murders committed every year by various giant corporations, one could look at the deaths of workers from occupational diseases, which in the 1960s, 70s, and 80s, and 50s, and 40s was running about 100,000 dead a year, which the corporations were, some major degree of responsibility was on their shoulders for this. Criminal knowledge of what the chemicals, the radiation, the dust did to people was something that they quietly knew about, and they carried out their murder. So I'm thinking about this guy in Nevada, and I'm saying, well, people are saying they couldn't see any military connection, but do you think he was kind of soaked in the culture of business?
Well, I don't know, and I'm not sure how much we'll be able to find out. Obviously, one thing we know about him is that he had some kind of money trip going on. He was making good money, but he was burning it up at the gambling tables in Vegas, which is what Vegas is about, of course.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think you're raising a very good point. I think specifically we have a very toxic work environment for many, many people. And whether or not they're in the blue-collar or white-collar fields, that has to affect people's consciousness. Earlier caller talked about psychotropic drugs in this context, and I think both of those are relevant and need to be investigated. Whether or not there will be a careful evaluation of exactly what happened, I don't know. I'm very suspicious, particularly with this administration. But I agree with you, and I want to get on to some other folks.
Okay, and thank you very much, Joe.
Well, thank you. 231-8187. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show. What do we got? Oh, the lines are clear. Oh, my goodness. That means I get to talk. That's kind of weird. I want to emphasize that all of our attention probably, and the way I opened the show with the Chopin Funeral March, might make you think, oh, Vegas is the topic. No, it's one of two. I'm trying to balance two things. The other murderous thing that is happening is what happened in Puerto Rico, a natural disaster, I believe, very much impacted by global warming. And we have a president of the United States who essentially accused the people of Puerto Rico of not doing enough for themselves, when in fact everybody that I saw on television, everybody I heard about, and some stuff online indicated to me, because it wasn't a lot online because, you know, they're down, but indicated to me that the people of Puerto Rico were rising up, working hard, trying to deal with the problems they were having. And remember, this island had been ill-treated by the United States throughout its history, always a second-class place. Yes, there was electric power, but second-class development of it. Yes, there was. Yes, there were highways, but second-class mainly. Yes, and so on. All of the things that you look for in a modern state were lacking in great amounts at this point. And when this huge storm socked the place, the consequences were quite predictable. Now, if the President of the United States had any competence at all, and this is not a political left-right issue, the thing that would have happened, that should have happened, and I'm not so pleased with it necessarily, but it may be a necessity, would have been to bring in the armed forces of the United States, bring in a huge number of helicopters, make sure people had food and water and electricity and so on. That's not happening. Instead, we got the golfer in chief. I, by the way, don't understand how he can even golf. He looks like he's fading fast. It's possibly my hope. Never mind. 231-8187. Who do we got? Dave.
Great.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air.
Okay, thank you. My name is not David. I'm not going to give my actual name.
Okay.
Somebody talked about drugs, you know, people who are, drugs and they listed a bunch of prescription drugs.
Yes.
Well, there's something else that should be mentioned, and that is there is a condition called Asperger's syndrome.
Yes.
And it turns out that from my understanding is that the person, the crazy person who committed the crime in Sandy Hook was an Asperger's person. Now, Asperger's is incurable, but also many people who have it are just fine. They grow up and they contribute to society, and I should not condemn their things like that. You know, I should not condemn this condition, but It should be investigated just, you know, a little bit, I think.
Well, I think here, let me give you my take on this whole issue. Asperger's is real. It is a very mild form of dysfunction, but it is real, and it varies in amount of impact on one's ability to think through problems and so on. But here's what I'm thinking, and I've wrestled with this for a long, long time. When I was in graduate school, I read a doctor whose last name was Zaz, who argued that our using mental health problems as a way of essentially either absolving people of responsibility or incarcerating them without due process, and he doubted the wisdom of that, or medicating them against their will. Now, I think he was right. And I also, at the same time, think there are these medical conditions, and there are many intervening variables, bad diet, failures in life, and so on, that create these kinds of problems that lead to violence in a society where anybody can buy any kind of weapon you can name, just about. So that's really important.
Okay,
let me just quickly finish. Another issue, however, is the question of personal responsibility. If you absolve people of their responsibility because they are quote-unquote crazy, that leaves you... I mean, I can't help but think anybody who kills anybody without duress is crazy. So that leaves us in a very serious dilemma. I think we live in a society that, to a great extent, for many people, including wealthy people, is toxic. But anyway, you wanted to make another comment.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, like I said before, two things. One is that most people who have Asperger's syndrome are really very fine people, and contribute to society. But also the other condition is that Asperger's is incurable. Asperger's is not like a mental health issue, which can be ameliorated by medications. It is just not.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for the call. All right. 231-8187. This is KBOO 90.7 FM dial. Abe ain't here. It's me, Abe and Joe, talk radio show. What can I say? But you're on the air. Who do we got? John, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joe.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, great. Hey, I want to
to talk about some of the anecdotal stuff that's going on all the time with mental health. I'm a bipolar too. I'm lucky I go to the VA.
You mean you're a bipolar also? You don't mean a bipolar to the number, right?
No, they rate us as severity.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. See, and this is in the DSM, I don't know what it is now, probably -5-6, something like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, I want to say some positive things about these medications. I was diagnosed in by good old Multnomah County Public Health in early 90s, and I was I'm a ex-alcoholic since 92. I quit, and then all of a sudden I figured out, hey, something's wrong upstairs, you know. It just wasn't the booze. And I think we have to be real careful when we shoot out these anecdotal things, that the medical community is a scientific community, and you rely on data. And how much data is there on how many people have taken the SSRIs that have actually snapped out and done things, you know, as a per 1,000 people?
Well, let me be clear about my response to that. I have no knowledge, statistical or even anecdotal, about that. Years ago, I worked in a psychiatric hospital and came to believe that most of the people there were no sicker than anybody else in our culture. A few were truly hallucinatory and so on. But the fact of the matter is that I don't know. I'm not going to be able to respond to what you're saying except to acknowledge the apparent validity of it. That's all I can do.
No, that's accurate, because without accurate data, we can't jump to conclusions. And anyway, I want to put in a plug for the positives of these drugs, because they've helped me out tremendously. I'm the healthiest that I've ever been in my life, and I'm 70 years old. But there are side effects, but the positives outweigh the negatives, like most things in life, you know. Also, I think that we have to keep emphasizing voting in our country. We've got to get young people to vote. A great example is Obama in 2008. We landslided him in. And then what happened in 2010? People didn't turn out midterms, and the Republicans take over the Congress. And we've got to emphasize to young people, 18 on up, hey, every election is important. And if you don't vote, it's going to get worse, the death spiral of this country. I agree with you, Joe.
Okay. And I think you're right. I think that it is a sad thing that participation in democracy in general is not great. And I also think that there's another kind of reason, which is that with anyone who takes a good look at what goes on, they become disappointed, disillusioned, and disinterested. And that is a problem.
Yeah.
And it's you know, if they give you bad candidates, do you want to get involved with them? Anyway, I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to turn to some other folks, if that's all right.
You. Keep up the great work, man. Love you.
Thanks a lot. I get to take a breath, because on account of how nobody is screaming and yelling in my ear or even rationally discoursing at my direction. A couple of things. I'm anxious to hear from women in general. I think that we, and talk radio as an instrument, tends to, not because we want it this way, at least I don't, we tend to get more men than women, and I think that the discourse, the argument, is much benefited by having people of any sexual orientation, persuasion, or genetic character. And this is really an important thing. So I want to emphasize that, as I have a moment to do that. I want to tell people that you're listening to the talk radio show, Abe and Joe's talk radio show, and that, in fact, the topics are twofold. Puerto Rico, which is getting a little too much short shrift here in response to the horrible events in Vegas. But in a way, I see a cultural linkage here that is very, very important. The other thing that always, in my mind, unites these kinds of crazy things is the insanity of the process that has created a Trump administration that is hell-bent on using the law and the budget to screw over, I don't know of a better term, the working class while giving more money, more and more and more and more money to the very, very wealthy. And that is creepy and dangerous and must be stopped. Now, having said that, I'm going to welcome calls. 231-8187. Susan, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joe. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I understand that you want to talk a little bit about Puerto Rico as well as the Las Vegas thing. I guess I essentially agree with everything you've said so far, so I don't have much to add other than it did occur to me, as you said, that if reporters can get into the hinterlands where people have no food nor water, mm-hmm. why can we not get helicopters with supplies in there? So my thinking was very much going along those lines.
Well, but, I think we have two things. I think that, do you remember West Side Story?
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Great, great musical, great tragedy, great takeoff on Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. The thing, one of the most significant songs in it is the Puerto Rican women's chorus singing how things are better in America. Is the message of that song essentially is to create in the audience an idea that somehow Puerto Rico is not part of the United States. And while well-intentioned as a piece of work, that is a disastrous notion. We already turned minorities into aliens within our own culture. This popular song furthered that. Many Americans don't even know that we have this colony where people can't vote for president, don't vote for congressman, and in fact have a second-class citizenship. All of the infrastructure in Puerto Rico has never been up to most modern standards, and that means that it's a waiting victim for something like a Hurricane Maria. Yeah. I mean, it's just really obvious. It's only ignorable because we have a very callous and careless media, and because we have at present time a fascist pig for president.
I think everything that you said about Puerto Rico, I completely agree with, and it's well said. I did want to offer a couple of thoughts on Las Vegas, however.
Sure, go ahead.
I'm a former retired nurse and worked in mental health for some of my career, and your callers so far, I completely understand, I think, where they're coming from emotionally, and that mm-hmm. I'm asking the same question, why, but I think we have to be very careful not to jump the gun, and I don't mean that.
That's
a
good
analogy.
Go ahead.
I'm usually not good at that kind of thing at all. In terms of understanding what went on here, I'm sure that a toxicology report will be forthcoming after an autopsy on the individual. I'm sure that the FBI and others will do a complete background search on him. And while I really appreciate the spirit of some of the callers, I think to say that the possibility of SSRIs and their withdrawal contributing to this is really a stretch, given the millions and millions of people who have taken SSRIs safely for years and have gone off of them. Mm-hmm. I think you have to be really careful about drawing those kinds of conclusions. Also, the gentleman who commented about people with Asperger syndrome, there's millions of people with Asperger's. It's on the autism spectrum disorder who, because one individual might have had Asperger's who was involved in being a serial killer, by no means creates a phenomenon. So all I'm saying is, I think it's as eager as all of us are, myself included, mm-hmm. to want to understand the why here, that we're really going to have to wait for an investigation and for everything to come out.
Well, I think you're right. I think the one thing that is clear is it doesn't make any sense in a rational universe to allow people to purchase multiple automatic or semi-automatic weapons. It's not something that is in the Constitution, really. The guns that are described, the right to keep and bear arms, is not about, hey, you got a right to have a nuclear weapon. It's not like that. Now, I'm exaggerating, obviously, but the implication, particularly pushed by the gun lobby, which is very much in the business of making money and making people afraid and making them paranoid and making them angry, that is intolerable and in and of itself creates problems for people that do have emotional issues.
And the remarks that you made at the outset, where you talked about people using guns for hunting or this and that, mm-hmm. was really a very cogent response, in my opinion, and the need for these automatic and semi-automatic weapons. I can't imagine that the founders, when they wrote the Second Amendment of the Constitution, had that in mind at all. So, anyway, those were just my thoughts, and thank you very much for the program.
Well, thank you for listening and for talking to us. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
My friend Eric here handed me a point, and I think it's a good one. The question he asks is there a motivation for drug companies to get data on drugs and killings? In other words, are they really going to have, first of all, will they have accurate data? Will the governments assist in that gathering of data? And will that data show us anything? Because it's very likely that the whole issue will get buried in rhetoric. And I'm very concerned. I think it's something we need to know about. I'm talking blind here. And there's a lot of opinion, and there's some information, but not a lot. And it leaves me actually defenseless against the discourse about the usefulness of certain kinds of drugs or their dysfunctionalness, for that matter. But I certainly think that we have to be very careful. If a person can be, through the use of weird drugs, I'll call them weird, able to function happily and safely and soundly and be a member of a working and creative member of the community, you can't be against those drugs. You really can't. And by the way, the same would be true, oddly enough, about marijuana in this context. So I do want to hear from you. 231-8187. Remember, the two topics I want to stay on is what's going on in Puerto Rico, which is now being buried by the disastrous horror of what happened in Las Vegas. And the only irony in Vegas, as I have said, for me, is that the country and Western music scene is also dominated by the rhetoric of gun-toting. Not to blame here, but just to point it out. 231-8187. LJ, how are you?
Hey, Joe, what's up?
No, you tell me.
Well, duh. All right, a couple of quick things about Puerto Rico.
Yes.
When Donald Trump came out and made some speeches about Puerto Rico, he mentioned the fact that Puerto Rico was in debt. He mentioned that several times.
Well, and that is true, but there are reasons for it. Go ahead.
Yeah, and he felt that the people who hold the debt need to be paid off. That was predominantly on his mind. Forget about the human tragedy that the Puerto Rican people had no control over. His part of his focus was on the debt.
Mm-hmm.
Right? All right, now, there are seven people, a board of seven people, who determine the economics of Puerto Rico at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Joe?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm listening to you. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's a board of seven people who determine the economy of Puerto Rico, and their main focus is to make sure that the banksters get their... get their pound of flesh, all right?
Mm-hmm.
As far as Puerto Rico itself is concerned, there was a false economy that was built in Puerto Rico, offering incentives to drug companies to locate there as a direct result of Cuba and the so-called communist takeover there. And what the U.S. wanted to do was build an economy in Puerto Rico to show the rest of the Caribbean that Cuba was the wrong model and that Puerto Rico was capitalist and the right model.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave drug companies tax incentives to locate in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, I believe that's true.
Well, and yeah, it is true. And anyway, the tax subsidies dried up in 1998, and the drug companies left, leaving Puerto Rico high and dry.
That's right? A very good point.
So, subsequently, according to what I heard on Democracy Now! Yesterday, the emergency funds that that the people of Puerto Rico have like put away, you know, for emergency purposes, is a mere pittance of what is actually needed, and you know FEMA is gonna is gonna drag their feet like they always do.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, I think that's true, unfortunately.
I just wanted to throw it into the mix, and Joe, it's great talking to you, and keep on keeping on, my brother.
All right, take care, man. All right, 231-8187. Again, I'm urging women to call us. I realize the time of our show, 8 to 9, kind of mitigates against a lot of people who are going to work or at work, and I don't want to urge people to call us on their cell phones while they're driving, because on account of how that's a weird thing. All right, 231-8187. Sean, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joe. Good
morning.
Hey, so, you know, since I was waiting and listening and the point came in about do the drug companies keep data to find out whether their drugs help people to kill people and whatnot.
Yes.
Well, you know, you can use a couple examples of the drug companies like Merck, who were doing studies on kids taking antidepressants and whether it would cause them to be suicidal, which was true.
Yes, it was true. And in fact, I know of a couple of cases of that.
Well, yeah, and that became huge news because Merck was called out on that because they did have the data to show that they did, and they were. And you can also go to the tobacco company, who for years knew that tobacco killed, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you can go on and on. They keep this data, and it's only until people actually, if they find out, then they actually have to admit to it. At least they struggled to admit to it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So this kind of stuff goes on all the time. But anyway, so I just wanted to point that out.
No, I appreciate that.
And
you're right.
Puerto Rico, okay, is, and tied to this, is that, you know, this mass killing, so to speak, that the media likes to use, and I don't want to downplay and disrespect anybody, of course, who was killed and injured.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, the media, they don't want to call it domestic terrorism. Okay.
Well, that's an interesting. I'm going to let you continue, but I want to emphasize that point.
Quick, and then get off the phone to other people. I just want to make these couple of points.
Yeah, go ahead.
That they don't call it domestic terrorism, and when we talk about Puerto Rico and all the Caribbean and all of Latin America, besides all the other countries the U.S. has been in, we don't hear just specifically about all the people who have died because of the government, and tying into what LJ said. Is this all has to do with neoliberal politics. They wanted Puerto Rico to get wiped out just like Katrina so they could start from scratch and put in more of a neoliberal buildup of the island. That, you notice how they don't call that mass murder. And the U.S. has been down in the Caribbean and elsewhere mass murdering people for decades and
right.
over 100 years.
Well, actually, you know, we don't have time and I'm not prepared to talk about things like Chile and Panama.
Well, no, I know. I just wanted to
point out. But I agree with you. I'm just saying I agree with you.
The Caribbean, but specifically just Puerto Rico, what's happened there is a mass murder, but the media doesn't call it that. But what happens here on our home turf, oh my God, that's a different thing. And my last point is yesterday on Democracy Now!, it wasn't. It was on PR.
Mm-hmm.
They interviewed a guy who was ex-military, who, given, was helping the people. He was at that concert, okay, given. But there was one point where he said, you know, a lot of people here died who were innocent, and they didn't deserve to die. And the unfortunate irony of that is most of the people in the war that he fought in Iraq and so forth died innocently and didn't have anything to do with what they were down there fighting for.
Right.
So that's my points.
Okay. I appreciate it. I appreciate the call.
Thanks.
All right, you take care. 231-8187. We're talking about and focusing in on two things. What's happened in Puerto Rico and the president's incredible response, which is to try to improve his golf game. I understand the desire to be a better golfer. I think if he just walked from hole to hole, he might lose some of that stupid fat that embraces him and obviously has an adverse effect on his gigantic mental abilities. But on the other hand, I don't want to fat shame. You know, I don't want to get into that kind of politics. It's just a little tempting in his case. But this is the dumbest president, I think. Well, that's a bad word. The stupidest president we've had in a long, long time. maybe back to the middle of the 19th century. Maybe there has never been anyone as creepy and weird and stupid as this guy. But hey, blaming the president won't do the job. We have a set of structural problems. Puerto Rico illustrates that dramatically, even though it's being buried by the media. The Vegas thing, the question of what constitutes the right to keep and bear arms, is worthy of examination. The question of, for example, the hotels in Vegas are so eager to get good gamblers, which was what this guy was. Apparently, they let him bring a lot of automatic weapons into his hotel room. You would think somebody would say, well, gee, now what all is going on here? But they never did. All right, 231-8187. Harry, you're on the air.
Ah, good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
A couple of points I want to make about Puerto Rico. About 2 months ago, they had a referendum that Puerto Rico wanted to become the 51st U.S. state,
mm-hmm.
and it passed.
Mm-hmm.
But Congress hasn't done anything about it.
Mm-mm. Well, you see, the problem is the flag wouldn't look as good.
Well, that'd become their state flag then. But but they want to become a state, but no one's doing anything about that.
Uh-huh.
And also, Puerto Rico is also has 3.4 million people.
That's right.
Well, that's quite a few people, and it beats quite a few states. Example: Alaska only has 700,000 people.
Uh-huh.
Hawaii has 1.4.
Yeah, but you see, Puerto Rico can't vote in the presidential or congressional election.
Yeah, and also people forget what House Speaker Baer did. He took the voting rights of all the representatives. Each territory has a congressional representative.
Mm-hmm.
During when Democrats are in control, they can vote. But when Republicans control, that's the first thing Baer did was took their voting rights away. So they have no voting rights at all.
Mm.
And next is another territory everyone forgets about is the U.S. Virgin Islands.
Mm.
Trump
also very damaged by this hurricane. Yeah.
Yeah, Trump is supposed to stop there first before he goes to Puerto Rico. But, you know, half the news media mentions that or not. My sister lives on St. Croix, and it was kind of devastating where it hit. She lives on on the edge of the rainforest on the west side of the island, and that's where the storm hit. And it's just no leaves, just nothing but trees and broken trees and just desolate. It's really bad.
Yeah.
And the issue they were having in U.S. Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico is they brought the food and stuff, but they have no trucks to deliver it.
Right. That's a very good point. And you would think helicopters would solve the problem, and we got lots of them.
Yeah, yeah. And we can, don't get me wrong, Puerto Rico is a very large island, and it needs a military response. Another issue about U.S. Virgin Islands is they have to bring trucks, is that the trucks were destroyed. Not only that, on the U.S. Virgin Islands, it's the only place in the United States they drive on the left-hand side of the road.
I didn't know that.
Yes, and so when you go visit, please take a taxi. when you land on the airport, so almost like landing on Heathrow Airport, the cars are coming in on the right, and you have to leave on the left. It's weird.
Okay, well thank you for that information, relevant or not. I appreciate it.
Yeah, that's true. But their economy has gone pretty bad. One of the largest oil refineries on the Western Hemisphere was closed 5 years ago on St. Croix.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and so their economy is kind of, they're kind of broke also. So they also want to become part of the United States, and they need economic development. Yeah. Okay, and that's all I really have to say.
Okay, I appreciate the call, man.
Okay.
That was informative in a number of levels. I had forgotten about the power of the petroleum industry in the Caribbean. It is very relevant. It's relevant to, for example, Louisiana, which was more or less destroyed in a variety of ways over the years for a variety of reasons, having focus on the desire of the petroleum industry. And the same is true for the Gulf Coasts of Texas and these enormous and stupid pipelines that are being built. I think, at this point that there probably is enough awareness among the public that something could change. I really think that we have a very weak party system. The Democrats, to me, are very disappointing. What happened in the election, this last election, was very creepy. The fact that the Russians were allowed, essentially, to I'm thinking dominate the consciousness of people during the electoral process. The fact that a lot of people like Donald Trump, precisely because he is the jerk, the ass that he is, they like to identify with that rude, nasty, sexist, racist pig. And I don't know what to say about that. All right, 231-8187. Taking a deep breath. I'm looking at this material, particularly about Puerto Rico. The Puerto Rican thing is very, very, very important. And the fact that the President of the United States is the jerk that he proves to be is also very important. Let's hope people get outraged enough to really challenge him. Meanwhile, as you know, he's getting closer and closer to indictment. Woo! All right. Who we got? Stuart? Stuart, yeah. You're on the air.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hey, you know, I had kind of a strange thought about all these killings and stuff. And it sounds really morbid and maybe kind of stupid, but...
Well, wait, is it morbid and stupid or morbid or stupid?
It's kind of both.
Okay, go for it.
But, you know, the people just get killed either way, and then they wonder what their problems were, you know, what's their mental state and stuff. I think they need to maybe study a few of them a little bit, and I hate to put it that way. I mean, it's not that they, you know, deserve to survive or whatever, but I mean, maybe it'd give them a little chance to get some more insight on what's going on in these people's heads.
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't disagree with you. I think, however, that the whole question of enforcing mental health priorities, requirements, including drugs, is a very dangerous path to be taken. Maybe the better things to do would be to make sure that people have adequate food and water and food and water, and that, in fact, that the educational system be boosted so that people know what the hell's going on better.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, these are things we could do without messing with people's lives.
They just keep cutting back, and they go, why is this happening? Or, you know, well, they're allowing it to happen. And then people like Miss Sanders or whatever saying, well, this is not the time. Well, that was just, I couldn't believe she even said that. That was just...
Well, you know, part of what happens is the gun lobby is incredibly powerful, particularly on the right, and they do always put pressure on to get away from the discussion of exactly what constitutes the keep and bear arms. I'm going to let you go. I appreciate your with your points, and I want to keep on keeping on here. Okay, thank you. 231-8187. We're focusing in on two things, the Puerto Rican disaster, the hurricane disaster. Let's be clear about this. Hurricanes are a natural phenomenon. They occur in the Caribbean and the Atlantic Ocean and in the Pacific, known as monsoons, fairly often. But the thing about what's happening now is they're occurring more often, and they're more violent, more significantly powerful. And there's no question, since it has to do with the heating of water and the heating of the air, that this is part of the climate crisis. Not like directly, but indirectly and very obviously. That's number one. Number two, the response of the United States government in the hands of Donald Trump in this situation is so disgusting, so outrageous, and so murderous that it needs to be called out by everyone. It doesn't matter what your politics are. When people are in need, and our government has the resources to deal with their need, the helicopters, the delivery systems, and so on, when the roads are destroyed, when the electricity is out, when the communications is down, and we do so little, and then we blame the people, blaming the victim, it's shameful and ugly and dirty and should not be allowed. And this is one of these situations where one should have no trouble calling out the idiot in chief. All right, 231-8187, who do we got? Jay, you're on
Hello.
The air. Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, there's been a lot of talk about this Jones Act.
Yes.
Oh, how great.
Let me just tell people the Jones Act is designed. Let me quickly say the Jones Act was a law passed essentially to limit the ability of shipping companies to exploit the opportunities of Latin America and specifically going from one place in the U.S. to another unless they were American ships. Go ahead.
Yes, and everyone thinks it'd be great to get rid of that Jones Act. And the truth of the matter, in my opinion, is that I don't want my ships made in China by somebody else. Let's make America great, right? Let's not build the ships in China because it'd be a lot cheaper to build them there. And there's a lot of people that would like to see that. I'm sure a lot of corporations would love to see that as well. And a lot of shipbuilders in the United States will be out of a job.
Okay. I think you're right about the challenge represented by China in this situation. But I also think that it's a very difficult situation in that we are advocating, as a nation, some kind of free market notions. And indeed, it's the case in the United States that a lot of what has happened has to do with the transfer of power from the working class and the middle class to the upper class. And part of that is driven by the rise of new technologies, and that's going to keep on. So we have a lot of problems involved with that. But I agree the Jones Act is old-fashioned and probably should be at least modified significantly.
Well, I think it's fine for you to badmouth the president. I think he may deserve some of that. But the country people, the country Western people,
okay.
Come on.
Well, you got a point. I appreciate that reaction.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the call. 231-8187. Okay, well, I'm going to take a deep breath here. I guess it's my turn to say something. We will probably never really know much about the Vegas killer, the fact that he took his own life, the fact that he was an inveterate compulsive gambler, the fact that he also had ability to make money in this market situation, particularly in land development, I guess I'd gather, is an interesting thing. The really relevant fact about this, though, is not that he was or was not depressed or mentally ill or even on drugs or whatever. That is important, but it is not as important as the fact that he had all these assault weapons that he got into a hotel and was able to use against people who were just mildly interested in political issues, if at all, and simply blew people away who were doing nothing more than listening to a pretty good concert until then. And the fact of the matter is that we are, particularly Vegas, is the heart of the most degraded forms of weird capitalism. And it's always been that. And, you know, what goes on in Vegas stays in Vegas is both a cute saying and an acute saying. So let's think a little bit about that. Now, as to Puerto Rico, come on. This island has done nothing wrong. The people are actually working trying to clear the monumental damage of the hurricane out. The President of the United States should have, on day one, authorized military delivery of goods and services to the people of Puerto Rico. There should have been portable hospitals, which we have. There should have been portable communication systems, portable generators, all of which the Army owns. All of that should have been delivered. All of that should have gone to everywhere. We have satellite images, so we know exactly where these services are desperately needed. Instead, what we've got is this clown fascist king character who I'm not going to tolerate anything that this guy does if it doesn't have some virtue for large numbers of Americans. A lot of stuff is going to be coming up that we're going to be talking about, the incredibly stupid budget proposals, which essentially transfer money from ordinary people to the wealthy and increase taxes on the lowest part of the population. These are really serious things. Like the healthcare replacement, so-called, they're stupid, and they're opportunistic, and they play to the stupidest people possible. We're out of time? We got only 1 minute left. I don't think I'm going to have a call. I guess I get to talk a little bit. I think most people have to acknowledge at this point, whether they're rightists or leftists or centrists or mildly liberal or mildly conservative or whatever, that this administration, with its cabinet of the rich and its inability to consider the welfare of the American people as a whole, this administration is dangerous. Dangerous to the survival of the nation, dangerous to democracy, dangerous to fairness, and dangerous to the American way. You know, I feel like I'm reading a script out of an old Superman radio show. You know, this is so creepy. And yet, the way the media plays this up, it gives an odd legitimacy to this nightmare. I think there will be issues coming up. I think there will be indictments being delivered. I think that the interference by Russia in the election maybe even invalidates the election, but there's no provision in the Constitution to deal with it. Hey, we're out of time. It's time for you to move on, time for you to listen to other stuff, all of it quite great here on KBOO. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. I'll see you next week.
From those nights in Tiananmen Square, it's coming from the feel that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay, democracy is coming to the USA.
Good morning, KBOO listeners. The time is 10 a.m., and you are listening to KBOO Portland. We are coming up on Alternative Radio. It's going to be here just after this next announcement. Todd Krechin of the International Socialist Organization recounts the 1917 Red October Russian Revolution. And then at 10, Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, we'll have Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, on stage in studio, guest host James Dixon speaks to writer, teacher, therapist, lobbyist, and actress Dana Schaefer about her one-woman show, You in Mid-Air, which examines the searing pain of loss and the triumph of hard-won wisdom. And then finally, rounding out the morning at 11:30, Art Focus features Sharita Town, who is one of the artists whose work is on exhibition at This is a Black Spatial Imaginary. Let me say that again. Sharita Town's work, her exhibition of This is